project outside. I said, I want you guys to pull all the weeds around the house while Mom and I are gone. And I put Rebecca on a project inside the house, and I figured it was going to take them enough time that we'd be able to do what we need to do and get back. And I get back, and all the weeds are gone, and there's a burn mark all the way around the house. I said, what's up here? Matthew said, well, Dad, I had a controlled burn. It was getting too hard to pull all the weeds. So he and Luke rolled out the water hoses, got some gas, I guess. I don't know how they did this. And then set all the weeds on fire. Now, don't do that, kids. Please, don't do that. Those things don't end well for you. You can talk to Matthew about that. They don't end well. But he did orchestrate a controlled burn. But there's another truth concerning fire. And that truth is that fire can be very useful. Can be very useful. It can help more than it can hurt. When you think about the use of fire, we use fire to cook our food, which kind of kills the bacteria that's in the food. We use fire in some cases to purify drinking water, which removes impurities and harmful microorganisms. We use fire to heat our homes. There's nothing really more cathartic, more therapeutic, more relaxing than to have a cup of hot chocolate or a cup of Happy Cappy. My daughter, granddaughter and I, that's our special thing. We get up in the morning and we have our Happy Cappy. But to have snow on the ground outside and it's cold and you have a warm cup of something to drink and you sit down by the fireplace and soak in the warmth of that fire, it's pretty cool. Something really soothing about that. And so it is in our text this morning that God speaks to a controlled fire where He is in control and working a marvelous work in our life. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the Lord in the reading of His Word. I would like to take the text this morning, the message from these verses found in Zechariah chapter number 13, beginning in verse number 6. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in your hands? And he's going to answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I shall hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Father, we pause this morning to say thank you for your word. Lord, to say thank you for loving us and for providing for us salvation through Christ Jesus. Lord, this morning I am acutely aware that there are many folks in the sound of my voice that feel the heat of the fires of affliction. They're wrestling with issues in their life, with concerns. They're aware of someone in their circles of influence that may be being tried this morning, that may find themselves right in the middle of an afflicting fire. And so, God, would you teach us something enlightening and encouraging from your word as we walk through the message this morning? I pray, God, that you would give me the words that you would have me to share this morning. that the words would not be mine, but that they would be yours, that the message would go forth on the wings of your Spirit and penetrate the hearts of the listeners, and on some level, Lord, be a comfort to them if they need comforted, that it would on some level be an encouragement to them if they are in need of encouragement today. Lord, that on some level it would challenge others if they find themselves complacent and apathetic and they need to be challenged once again. In all cases, Lord, may it draw our hearts and our minds and our attention and our focus to you, the Almighty God, the one who is highly exalted. So teach us, and we'll be careful to thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in our text, God portrays himself as a refiner. A refiner is someone who can take a piece of raw gold or silver or some metal and skillfully remove the dross, the impurities from that raw material so that it becomes a precious metal. The refiner can craft that metal, then that precious metal, into something useful. Most of you who are wearing wedding rings this morning have wedding rings that are made in part out of pure gold. It has been through a refiner's fire. A refiner has taken a piece of raw material, put it through a fire, removed the dross and the impurities from it, and then crafted that into something that is useful, something that's beautiful, something that is extremely valuable. You know it's valuable because when you go purchase it, it's costly. God does that with us. The idea of God as a refiner working in us and through us is found throughout the Bible. In 1 Peter, the first chapter and verse 7, the scripture says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire." Psalm 66 and verse number 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us and tried us as silver is tried." Isaiah 48 and verse 10, "Behold, I have refined you," God says through Isaiah. "I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." Highlight that verse. Write that down. Go back and reread that. Many of you may need to draw on that verse today or in the coming days or coming months. "I have refined you," Isaiah 48 and verse 10. "I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction." Job 23 and 10. We know Job's story. He says, Job says, he, speaking of God, "knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, when he has walked me through the difficulties, the struggles that I'm currently going through, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Isn't that a precious promise? You may be in a tough place today. You may know somebody who's in a tough place today. And the promise, if we're a child of God, is that when we have been tried, we'll come forth as gold. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge them as gold and silver." Malachi says that God is like a refiner's fire. Throughout the Bible, this picture of the refiner's fire is presented. Scripture teaches us that precious gold and silver is the product of the refiner's work. And so we are the product of God's work. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand why things are happening to us that make no sense. Sometimes it's difficult for us to cope with the difficulties, with the struggles, with the bad news, with the challenging news. A couple of weeks ago, I received a text from my daughter sister-in-law, Emily, say, pray for my dad. He just found out that he has tears in a heart valve, and he's going to have to go through surgery. I felt her pain. I felt the pain. I know her parents, Wally and Linda. They're wonderful people, and we have a great relationship with our daughter-in-law's parents, and I just know what he's going through. He's in a fire of affliction right now. He's got to be asking himself, what's God doing right now in my life? Her mother, Linda, has to be saying the same thing. That's why we have them on our prayer list. That's why we pray for them every Wednesday evening when we come together. Sometimes things don't make sense, but we have to trust that God, who is the refiner, who knows how to put us in the fires of affliction, also knows how to purify us through those and when it's time to take us out. I just praise God that He's in control of all things. Amen? Praise God. You can trust God. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. You can trust God. When we look at our verse and we read verse number 9, he says, I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them and will say, this is my people. And they're going to say, the Lord is my God. There are three truths that I want us to notice in light of this verse number 9. Truth number 1, the promise of God. The promise of God. Did you notice what God says here? He says, I will bring them through the fire. He doesn't say, I'm going to send you through the fire. He doesn't say, I'm going to drop kick you into the fire. He doesn't say, I'm going to toss you into the furnace and leave you. He says, I will bring them through the fire. Has it ever occurred to you that to bring someone through something, you have to go with them? Now that's good news for us today, amen? Because what the Scripture is saying, that God is not going to send us through the fire, but He's going to bring us through the fire. Isaiah tells us or reminds us of this truth that God is there with us. In Isaiah 43, beginning in verse number 1 and following, the Scripture says, thus saith the Lord. I love it when the Scripture starts out by saying, thus saith the Lord. Amen? Now we can say, thus saith the Lord, and begin reading in Genesis and not stop till we get to Revelation, and we can say, thus saith the Lord, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, because God's Word is inerrant, because God's Word is infallible, because God's Word is God's Word. So thus saith the Lord when we hold up the Holy Bible. But sometimes along the way, God says, let me just reinforce, thus saith the Lord. And so speaking through Isaiah, he says in Isaiah 43, beginning in verse number 1, he says, the Scripture says, thus saith the Lord that created you. Now, I got to be careful. I'm going to be off preaching a different sermon this morning. I'm going to try to stay on track here. But the one who created us. You know, I built a lot of houses in my life. And I can tell you things about every house I've built that nobody else knows. Because I built it. Matthew and Luke have been on many of those jobs, and in some of those houses we wrote notes, because you always sign your work as an artist. So we would put things inside the walls before we covered them. Wrote notes to the next person that may want to tear that wall down or take the sheetrock off that wall. There are things about every house that I've built that I know that nobody else knows, because I built it. And there are things about you that nobody else knows but God, because He created you. That's a pretty comforting thought, isn't it? So let me get back on track here. Thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and He that formed you, O Israel, fear not, because I've redeemed you. And there's another precious promise. I want to jump off on that one. I have called you by name, you are mine. That's just a great verse. When you pass through the water, I will be with you, and through the river, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God. Well, we could say amen and go home right now. We're not going to, but we could do that. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's a pretty precious promise. God is right there with you. He's not sending you through something. He's taking you through it. I will bring you through the fire. Daniel found this truth to be evident, that God is right there with you, when he went into the lion's den. He tells us, in his discourse with the king the next morning, he says, don't worry about it. God sent an angel to comfort me last night. He sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions. I didn't have anything to worry about. I suspect he slept better that night than he slept any other night of his life. I mean, think about it. He had all those lions to kind of lay on and be a soft pillow and a soft bed for him. The Hebrew children found this truth that God will be with you evident when they were thrown into a superheated incinerator that was supposed to take their life. And Nebuchadnezzar looks in just to make sure that what he was attempting to do got done. And he sees these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, up dancing all around. And he says, didn't we throw three people in? Yeah, king, we threw three people in. Well, I got a problem because I see four up dancing all around. They're not even impacted by the fire. They're dancing right in the middle of it. And the fourth is likened to the Son of God. How do you know that? How do you know that? And then the scripture tells us that the next morning, or later, I don't know if it was morning, but later, when they came out of the fire, three of them came out, and not even the smell of smoke was on them. You ever stood by a campfire? You don't even have to get in the middle of the campfire. All you have to do is stand by it, and you smell like smoke for 3 weeks. Somebody said that's true. It is true, isn't it? Have good hearing. That used to get my kids all the time. It's like, how'd Dad hear that? But here's the question. If three went in and three came out, where'd the fourth one go? And the answer, he's still in the fire. So when you go through the fire of affliction, he's right there to hold your hand and to walk you through it. I will bring them through the fire. Job found this truth to be evident when he testified, he has tried me, and when he has tried me, I will be like gold. I don't understand why I'm going through all I'm going through. I don't understand why I've lost my fortune, why I've lost my family. I don't understand it. But I know when God brings me through this, I'm going to come out of the other end of this thing just like pure gold. That much I know about God. And even Jesus found this promise that God will be with you to be true. The scripture tells us that in the Garden of Gethsemane on that night where he was just hours away from being nailed to an old rugged cross, the scripture says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was under such grief and agony at the thought of the sins of the world being transferred to him. The one who knew no sin would now become sin for each one of us. And the thought of that was so overwhelming, so grievous, that the scripture says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And the scripture says God, who's promised never to leave us, sent an angel to comfort him. The good news I have for you today is that whenever you face a trial, whenever you face a difficulty, no matter what you may be going through today, God is right there with you. He is not sending you through it alone. He says, I will bring you through it. You get a picture of Him holding our hand and saying, let's go do this together. Let's do this together. Matthew made a promise to a first grade teacher that they were doing a walk jogathon thing. And Matthew promised that he was going to run the whole thing. It was like an hour run. I don't remember how long it was. You remember? A long. And so he also promised Dad was going to do it with him. Thank you, son. So we showed up that day to do our walk jogathon thing, and that's when I found out we were supposed to run the whole time. And back then I was a little lighter and a little better shape than I am today. And so we started jogging, and as you would expect for a first grader, he got tired and said, Dad, I want to walk. I said, son, you made a promise. We honor our word, so we're going to do this together. And I put him on my shoulders, and we finished the course, running it together. God says, I'm going to bring you through the fire. You're not going to have to do this alone. I love you that much. I care for you that much. You're not going to have to do this alone. Truth number two. Concerns the power of God. Looking again at verse number 9, he says, I'm going to bring you through the fire, but he also says, I'm going to refine you as silver is refined, and I'm going to try you as gold is tried. When God says that he will bring us through the fire, and he will try us and refine us, what he is reminding us of is his ability and his wisdom and his power to manage the affairs of our affliction. I wonder if it might be possible that our afflictions are much more intense, much more complicated than they need to be, because we forget that God is with us and we begin to try to rely on ourselves rather than trust God. God is in control. And even when things around us don't make sense, it makes sense that God's in control. And we need to trust Him for that. We need to be reminded that He will bring us through the fire. He will refine us. He will try us. In other words, you can rest assured that every fiery trial that you endure, or that you observe a loved one enduring, that there is a governing, managing, overseeing authority that's just as real as the fire itself. And that person is the refiner. And his name is Jesus. If that doesn't start your engine this morning, then you're out of gas. Something's wrong. Because the thought that Christ is in control should be a comforting, encouraging thought for each one of us. You know, I thought about fires as I worked on this, and I thought, you know, a forest fire burns indiscriminately. It blazes out of control. An incinerator fire burns completely. There's nothing left except a little bit of ash. A refiner's fire, on the other hand, submits to the skilled hands of the refiner. The one who watches both the fire and the precious metal. You know, we sing a song, "Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows overcome? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." Isn't that a precious song? Isn't that a beautiful song? This is great comfort for the child of God. Just let that soak in for a moment. The King of Kings has His eye on me. Just let that soak in. The Scripture says that not a sparrow falls but what He doesn't take note. Says the very hairs of your head are numbered. And that number changes every time I rake a comb through my hair. I kind of think that's why God allows baldness. Because He can just put zero by a lot of people's names. And I got a feeling one of these days it's going to be me. But He says, "I know the very numbers of hair on your head. I care that much about you." His eye is on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has been given a name which is above every name according to Scripture, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The one who has been highly exalted by God Himself is the one who has His eye on you. Sometimes that leaves me speechless. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. The truth is, the refiner watches both the fire and the precious metal. His most important tool is the crucible. The crucible is the little pot or the pot in which the metal is melted. And when that raw material, that raw metal is put in the crucible and it's placed in the fire, it becomes the refiner's job to watch both the fire and the metal. And there is a point at which that metal reaches a temperature where the dross and the impurities float to the top. And at that precise moment, the refiner with his own breath will blow away the impurities, or he'll use billows to blow away the impurities and the dross. And God, who holds us in His hand, who may place us in a fire of affliction, knows when it's time to turn up the heat. He knows when it's time to reduce the heat. He knows when it's time to take us out of the fire. And He knows when that precise moment comes that He will, with His own breath, blow away the impurities and the dross. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Sometimes we think, why do I have to go through such difficulties? I remember hearing a story some time ago about a little boy who was sitting on his on the porch, on the front step of his porch, and he was crying. And his mama saw him crying and went out and sat down beside him and said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "My butterfly died." And he recounted how he watched this butterfly develop in the cocoon. And he waited for that day when, as his mom and dad told him, that butterfly would one day break out of that cocoon and fly. And he waited and he watched, and that day came. And as the butterfly worked to get out of the cocoon, the little boy thought it was working too hard. And so he helped it. And when he freed the butterfly from the cocoon, it fell to the ground and died. And he was crying, and his mama told him what he didn't know, that the butterfly needed to work its way out of the cocoon on its own, because that was the only way it would strengthen its wings enough to be able to fly. And it needed to fly to live. Sometimes we find ourselves in difficulties and we say, "God, why are we going this alone?" And the truth is, we're not going it alone, but God knows that sometimes we have to work through the difficulty of breaking out of the cocoon if we're going to have the strength to push on and to fly, as it were. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. God doesn't put us through the fire of affliction to torment us, but to develop us. Sometimes we go through the fires of affliction so that we draw closer to the heart of God. And we're never going to draw closer to the heart of God until we learn to rely on God. And we learn to rely on Him in the furnace of affliction. You'll never know if you can stand up to the storms of life until you've been tested by the high wind. A ship in dry dock, is its trustworthiness, its seaworthiness is unknown until it sets sail. I thought about this and I thought, isn't this interesting? The Titanic was built by professionals. The Ark was built by amateurs. When tested by the high seas, the Titanic failed. The Ark made a successful voyage. What's the difference? The difference is the Titanic was designed by man. The Ark was designed by God. So whatever you're going through today, or whatever your friends or family may be going through, understand that the architect is God. And you will successfully navigate the stormy seas of life because God is in control. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And here's another sweet promise, and I've got to speed it up here. But whatever you're going through, God is not unaware of that. Christ is not removed from that. Do you know the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse number 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," this is speaking of the Lord Jesus, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest." We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, the Scripture is saying that Jesus is acutely aware. He is very much aware of every difficulty you may be encountering. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just like us. He knows what it's like to be in the fire. He knows what it's like to go through difficulties. He knows what it's like to face temptation. He knows what it's like to have Satan come to him after he's been hungered and thirsty for many, many, many days, 40 days, the scripture tells us, and then have Satan tempt him on many different levels. He knows what that's like. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. That's awesome. So what does that mean to us? God, what do we draw from that? Well, let's read on. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. You want to find horsepower? You want to find staying power? You want to find help? Get on your knees in prayer. Let us, therefore, come boldly. We have meeting on Wednesday night, our prayer teams, and we're called the BAT team. We've named ourselves the BAT team. What does that acronym stand for? Boldly approaching the throne. The promise in God's Word is that we can boldly approach the throne. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. You're not going it alone. Get on your knees before Holy God and say, here it is, God, I can't handle it, but I know You can, and I'm giving it to You. I've got to push on. Truth number three, and then I'll be done, concerns the plan of God. The plan of God. The scripture says here in verse number 9, where we've been parked this morning, I will bring the third part through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. And here's what it's all about. And they shall call on My name, and I will hear them. Now it seems to me, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, it'd probably be a pretty good thing to do right now. That's a great promise. They'll call on My name, and I will hear them, and I will say, this is My people. You're Mine. You've been bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will call on My name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is My people. And they're going to say, the Lord is my God. That's what this is all about right here. The one thing we need to understand about our trials and about our affliction is that God uses them to draw us to Him, not to turn us away from Him. He uses them to refine us, not to charbroil us. He uses them to make us like precious gold and silver, not broken and burned out vessels. They shall call on My name, and I will hear them, and I will say, this is My people. And they're going to say, the Lord is my God. God has a purpose. He has a plan for every fiery trial in your life. I heard a story some time ago about an airplane that was on a cross-country flight. In that airplane sat an older gentleman next to a little girl. And he was visiting with the little girl, and about halfway through the flight, as they were somewhere over the Midwest, they hit a lot of turbulence. The plane began to rock and roll a little bit and jump all over the place, drop a couple hundred feet without warning, hit weather heads. It got tough. Everybody on the plane got nervous. People started getting a little hysterical, some of them. Folks got upset. But this little girl sat there with a smile on her face, kept drawing her pictures, kept singing a song. Finally, this older gentleman said to the little girl, he said, "Aren't you scared?" And she said, "I'm not scared at all." And the man said to her, "How can you not be scared with everybody else, when everybody else in the plane is scared and we're rocking all over the place and we're in the midst of all this turbulence? And how can you not be scared?" And she said, "My daddy's the pilot. And I know he's going to get me home safe." I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what kind of turbulence you're facing. But I know this. If you're a child of God, your daddy's the pilot. Your daddy's the pilot. And he's going to get you home safe. He's going to get you through your struggle. He's going to bring you through the fire. And you're going to come out like precious gold.